Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Matt Polacek, only on LA Talk Radio.
To another edition of Answers for the Fam. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza. My co-host today is Dr. Matt Polacek. And unfortunately, he had a prior commitment as director of the Hazleton Betty Ford Clinic, which is a reminder to me and of all of the good works that he and his team does for our community. Now, for those of you that have been listening, sending in questions and comments, thank you so much. And I want to read to you one that was sent in that really touched my heart. This one reads, "Dear Alan, my deepest thanks for you and Chase for the Attitude of Gratitude Journal. I downloaded it in December and shared it with my family at Christmas dinner, and I talked to them about what I was most grateful for. Since then, I've provided copies to my children, ages 11, 14, and 16, as well as my husband. Although our kids thought it was stupid and a waste of time in the beginning, we provided rewards to motivate them to complete the journals over a three-week period. Not only have I seen a significant improvement in the kids' happiness and attitude, but my husband and I are showing much more appreciation for each other. Now, we're long past the initial 3 weeks and are still filling out new pages of the journal and talking about the things we are most grateful for." So anyway, wow, I want to thank this person for sending in this this letter and this comment. It really touches my heart. And, you know, for the rest of you, please continue to just help spread the word that every Monday from 11 a.m. to noon Pacific time, this show will bring you special guests that can inspire, educate, and in some cases entertain, while bringing answers and options to many things that can make our lives happier, healthier, and more successful. Now, Answers for the Family will address a variety of issues, such as locating a runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and so much more. And we'll introduce you to talented authors and new innovations in the areas of health, security, and fun for you and your family. Now, most people, the words wellness and writing are not typically followed by the word fun. But our guest today is on a mission to change that word association. From kindergarten classrooms to corporate boardrooms, Catherine Kemp Golay has inspired tens of thousands of individuals to improve their health, happiness, and productivity. Catherine is a speaker, certified nutritional counselor, and coach with a master's degree in business administration. And as a sought-after wellness and business expert, Catherine is often interviewed by leading media sources such as ABC, CBS, and NPR, as well as hosting her own radio show and podcast. Now, Catherine was named a 2016 Woman of the Year by the National Association of Professional Women. Catherine is also the award-winning and best-selling author of three books. Her first book, Mountain Mantras, Wellness and Life Lessons from the Slopes, was the topic of a previous Answers for the Family show. Her children's books, Give It a Go, Eat a Rainbow, and Where Does a Rainbow Grow, teaches kids about healthy eating in a fun, engaging way. Her upcoming book, Look Before You Leap, shares Catherine's extensive experience in the publishing industry and provides actionable tips for aspiring authors who want to get their messages out into the world. Catherine, welcome back to Answers for the Family.
Thank you so much, Alan. I am such a fan of your show. I love your work. I am also a fan of the Attitude of Gratitude Journal. So I just think you're up to some great stuff. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I know that the last time we talked, you had written, again, Mountain Mantras, Wellness and Life Lessons from the Slopes. And I think that was just over a year ago or so. And now you've got three books published and one soon to be launched. Why all the activity in the writing world, and how do you find time to do it?
I'm not sure if I can answer that second part of the question. How do I do it all? I think it has to do with a lot of discipline and focus, which is sort of, I work on this Pomodoro technique. You know, I set timers. I say I'm going to get this accomplished in this period of time, and I really try to stick to it. So that's as well as I can answer that second part. But the why is, and I think it also is related to your productivity. If you are really passionate about your projects, you get them done. And, you know, really why I set on this mission to create 3 more books in the process of just over a year, you know, Mountain Mantras really led to the Give It a Go, Eat a Rainbow book. I sort of mentioned that book, that it was coming. And a lot of my readers for Mountain Mantras contacted me and they said, I can't wait. You know, I want this book. Let me know when it's ready. People were really excited about it because it teaches kids in a fun way that fruits and vegetables are the way to get energy and to have fun. And all kids love rainbows. You know, so it was a big hit. And let me tell you, Alan, I went to hundreds of schools. And I was just in Boulder about 2 weeks ago, Colorado, with Chef Ann Cooper and did a presentation there. And so I've been really, you know, engaging with a lot of kids around that first book. And here's the thing. They love the rainbow. They love the idea of eating fruits and vegetables and how that can give them energy. But what I was hearing was there's a couple sneaky little kids out there, and I love all kids, and I think they're all really smart. But they said, could I just get my rainbow through Starbursts and Skittles? And I thought, oh my goodness, this needs to be addressed right away. So the second book in the series, Where Does a Rainbow Grow, really directly hits on that. And it says, where does a healthy rainbow come from? Introduces a new character, Sammy the Bunny, that takes our main character, Blake, to a farm. And it's just, oh, it's been so much more fun for me to have this book. I'm going to a couple classrooms this week, you know, to read both books, because then they can not only have the opportunity to identify, oh, that's a strawberry, but they can also identify a strawberry plant, you know, and there's all these different connections between the books. So really, it's all about the passion and the why and the connection between my different projects.
Now, the two books you're talking about, I know that both involve your 12-year-old son, Alexander, that he's involved in the creation. What was the purpose of involving Alexander in creating a children's book? And tell us how that worked out for you.
Oh, it's such an important point. And it's, I think, really one of the foundational reasons why the books and the events around the books have been so successful. So I'm almost 47. I'll turn 47 this year. And so I'm a mom. You know, I'm kind of the lady that comes in, and everyone knows I'm a nutritionist. And so the kids, you know, they kind of, you know, they filter through the information that comes from me because of, you know, who I am and how old I am. Now, when a 12-year-old, now 13, but when a kid comes in and tells the same message, what you see is you see an open filter. You see so much more receptivity to the messages. So it was so important to involve him. And what it was in the beginning was just a lot of fun, and it was great to, he's an artist and he wanted to contribute, and we worked together, and it was a great mother-son family project, so much fun. But the cool thing is that in the end, in the results, it's so much more effective to the target market, to the consumers, and to drive the behavior change that we want to see.
I absolutely love that. And I had a feeling that that was it. But I'm just so happy that you've shared it with everybody so that we can all understand just how important that is in regards to who young people want to listen to. Now, you mentioned the Attitude of Gratitude Journal. My son, who is now an adult now, but my son Chase assisted in that. And as we were choosing different sayings and things, and he would talk about it and go, Dad, I know that works for your generation, but why don't we go with this? You know, so I get it. I agree. In fact, I couldn't agree more. There's been so many instances and things that we've tried to do to help at-risk youth, and we learned right away that they're going to listen to someone that is much closer to their age and that they respect. You know, it has to be somebody that they look to and they go, wow, you know what? This person seems like they've got it together. Maybe I should really listen to them.
Absolutely. That peer-to-peer messaging is really the key. And let me tell you, your attitude of gratitude journal is fantastic. But by having Chase involved, you opened that up to such a bigger market because of what you just said. There's just a different way to word things and to make that connection. And you can't do it unless you have that peer-to-peer messaging. So, Alan, you're reaching a group and Chase is reaching a group and you just broadened it significantly. So you're helping more people.
And that's the goal, isn't it?
Absolutely.
All right. So now we've talked about how the kids are relating to it. How are the teachers and the parents, you know, relating to the book and seeing how this benefits their kids?
Oh, they love it. It's so much fun. I just mentioned, you know, having a visit with Chef Ann Cooper, and that was lovely because they're so far ahead of what I would say is the national norm as far as, you know, lunch programs and, you know, kids, you know, having a rainbow salad bar every day. You know, but in other areas, when I go visit schools where maybe it's not as progressive in terms of the kids being very comfortable eating fruits and vegetables on a daily basis, sometimes the teachers will warn me ahead. They'll say, oh, well, just, you know, I have a really picky class this year. You know, just be warned. It's going to be very difficult. And so I say, okay, let's roll with it. And, you know, I'll go into a classroom and I always make it fun and we read the book and we usually do an art activity with my son and then we do a game and then we have a tasting. And it's really funny. There's a game where I was doing this with a group that was focused on white fruits and vegetables because a lot of people don't know that, you know, radishes and turnips and cauliflower and potatoes and all these things, they have a lot of fiber, a lot of potassium. They're really good for you. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't be left out. So I was doing a class just on white, and so I brought these little mystery bags, and the kids, you know, reached their hands into the bags to kind of figure out, you know, what it was. They used their senses. You know, they kind of felt the fruits and veggies, and then I let them smell it. So they were already getting really curious about it. And then we sat down, and I had these prepared rainbow carrots as the snack. And then one of the kids in the class, who I learned later was super picky, said to me, well, aren't we going to eat the veggies and fruits that were in the bags? And these were like raw onions and turnips, and you know, it was hysterical. So the teacher looked at me and she said, can you stay a little bit longer? And I went and, you know, prepped them and washed them and then I went back in. And sure enough, the kids in a group, in a fun setting where it was their choice, mm-hmm. they tried everything. It was awesome.
See, I'm so excited about that, and having been a dad who was a room dad, you know, with the kids at a young age, I love that type of involvement. I love to see when the kids get involved, and as you said, it was their idea, so now it made a lot more sense for all of them to be involved. So that's beautiful.
Thank you. It's a lot of fun too. It really is.
Well, we have a listener question that's coming in, and this one, again, along the lines of food. This one says, I know that many of my friends have good intentions, but all too often they give in to fast food demands for a host of reasons. I'm a stay-at-home mom, so I have the luxury of time on my side to make the extra effort. Are your books ones that will help my friends find an easier alternative and a path to overall health for their entire family? If so, which of your books should we start the journey reading? And this is from Malika in Arizona. Thank you, Malika.
Oh, thank you so much for the question. It's such a great one. And I really am, I'm on a mission to change behavior away from fast foods. I mean, I want to make it so that you can drive back, you know, right by there and just go to your home and really get to home cooked meals. Because, you know, Alan, you work with a lot of teen issues. And here's the research. The research says that if you are eating more meals at home, that you are less likely to experience risky behavior in your teens. And so that's a whole host of behaviors, those risky behaviors. And so whether it's, you know, a causation or correlation issue, the point is that the more you're eating at home as a family, the better. And I do think that these books will help your friends that are stopping at the fast food and maybe we'll get them to their home to have a home-cooked meal. I'd start with Give It a Go, Eat a Rainbow, because that's the beginning of the story. And what it talks about in a really non-judgmental way is it talks about, you know, when you're eating the fast foods and the junk foods, you don't feel energetic. In fact, the character, Blake, who could be a boy or girl, and we found mm-hmm. through beta testing that the kids really identified with this character because it's very simply drawn. It's kind of like a Charlie Brown character where there's not too much detail. So the kids, you know, could be any skin color, any gender. So it's very neutral. So the kids identify and they see this character that's very low energy at the beginning of the story, you know, is surrounded by junk foods. We don't make any judgment about those junk foods. But then, you know, the character looks at the other kids that are running and playing and having fun. And that's what all kids want. They want fun. They want energy. And so the character goes on a journey to discover how to get energy. And that's the whole rainbow, going through each color, learning about fruits and vegetables. And at the end of the story, the character is full of energy, is playing, and by the way, the table in front of the character is replaced with fruits and vegetables. So it's a really subtle way, no judgment, you know, no kid feels bad or shameful when reading it. They just feel excited to have more energy. So I would start there. The next book, if you have that issue with, you know, can I get a rainbow through Lucky Charms? The next book actually starts on the first page of the last book. So it's a true continuation. And this time it's, and it shows the character in a store full of very, very colorful things. And but says, you know what, these don't give me energy. How can I find where healthy rainbows come from? And then there's the Sammy the Bunny, perfect timing for Easter, goes mm-hmm. on a journey. And then, again, I really believe that when kids learn where their food comes from and they maybe get an interest in gardening and plants, you have a healthy, long-time eater on your hands. I mean, a lifetime healthy eater is somebody that is actually interested in where their food comes from.
I couldn't agree more. And one of the guests that we had, I think it's probably been a year ago now, was the author of, it's a sugar something, but it is the story about you know, how we ended up getting corn fructose in everything. And it's amazing the information that he's brought out, some of which were documents that were found written back in the 30s about how dangerous it was, and then how those documents were then hidden and new documents were put out to say that it was okay, only that was from the people who were sponsoring, who were producing what it was they were trying to get put into the products. So, you know, to get that information and to now have it to where people can actually read it, they can see, as you're saying, not only learn about all these things that are good for you, but these other things that are bad for you, there's now statistics that show that, as you say, that you have less energy, that, you know, that you have greater disease, you know, and you can ask kids, how do you feel when you're sick? Well, I feel terrible. Okay. Do you know that by eating all of these things, you have less of a chance to get sick than you do if you eat these things? You know, so to me, you know, you getting that information out to them so that they can see how great this can be is wonderful. And, you know, I know that, and there are ways that can be prepared and, you know, ways in which they can get the benefit of it and not feel like it's something that doesn't taste good, because if it's done right, it tastes good too.
Absolutely. And one of the things, you know, that this might be related to, you're talking about the sugar industry and the corn syrup industry. There is this documentary called Fed Up that kind of goes into that and how a lot of those documents were buried. And actually, when I watched that documentary, I got really angry. And, you know, this was why I was, or this was in the process of making these books. And I was really angry. I wanted to kind of like do my own little grassroots way of fighting back against, you know, what was happening there. So listeners, you know, if you want to send me an email, you can go to makewellnessfun.com. There's a little contact on there. Send me an email. Send me a contact. Say, I heard you on Alan's show on Answers for the Family. And I'll tell you what, I can give folks, I can send them a copy of these children's books, because that's how passionate I am about fighting against the industry and, you know, doing it from a grassroots way. I mean, this is not about, getting into the government and trying to fix it from that level. This is about fixing it at the family level. And Alan, that's what you're all about too.
Well, thank you. And for everybody out there, if you're driving and you couldn't write that down, you can also go to the Answers for the Family site. We'll make sure that Catherine's website is on there. But again, it's Make Wellness Fun. That should be an easy thing to remember because it's something that we all want. Catherine, now in regards to you know, getting this information out there, I know that you are also speaking, share with us what else you're doing. What are some of the other things that you're doing that's helping to get the word out?
Yes, well, I love to go to schools and I love to read to kids and I love to, you know, like that visit that I just had with Chef Ann Cooper, I love to identify best practices so that I can gently suggest them. I'm not really a policy person, meaning, you know, I don't go to, you know, Congress and, you know, try to change things at a lobbyist level, but I really do try to, you know, educate and inspire and give choice. Like, that's really that's my recipe for change in my own way, in my own world, because you have to understand we can only control what's in our sphere of influence, and then the ripple effect can go out from there. But as far as another project altogether that I'm working on is another thing I noticed, and I mentioned getting angry about the whole sugar thing and how it was being buried. You know, another thing that's kind of driven me with passion via a little bit of anger is some things that have been going on in the publishing industry. And I've been in a lot of author groups, you know, having put these books together, and, you know, I've interviewed a lot of authors. In fact, I went through the trouble, which was so worth it, to survey dozens of authors around financial data, because I ended up hearing all these stories. Like, I really wanted to help people. I wanted to get my story out. So then I tried to publish a book, but then I got taken advantage of. And I heard these horror stories of people spending all this money, you know, thinking that it was like something that was, you know, boosting up their ego. Oh, this publisher wants to work with me, when they really just wanted to take their money. So I did a survey, and again, that's something, if people want to contact me about it, I just put it up last week. The results of the survey are shocking. Some of it's heartbreaking, some of it's hilarious, but the point is that the publishing industry needs a little shakeup. And that's this new project. You know, having done these three books, and now I'm on my fourth book, I have learned so much about the publishing industry, how it works and how it doesn't work, how it's dysfunctional. And my latest book, The Look Before You Leap, really digs into the industry, how it works, who the players are, you know, how do you distinguish one player from the other, and then how do you make sure that you want to take your passion of getting your word out into the world, because you can help so many people through a book, but I just want to make sure that these people with that passion don't get taken advantage of.
All right. Well, for everybody out there, stay with us, because when we come back, I'd like Catherine to tell us a little bit about how writing a book with your child, how did that change your view about how the publishing industry works? So for everybody, stay with us. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Answers for the Family. Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, Westshield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you. And we're back. You're listening to Answers for the Family. And our guest today is the author of two children's books, Give It a Go, Eat a Rainbow, and Where Does a Rainbow Grow? And we're also now talking about her newest book, which is Look Before You Leap, that has to do a little bit with the publishing industry. So when we went to break, I asked, how did writing a book with your child change your view about how the publishing industry works?
It's such a great question, because it really, it's one of those things where, you know, there was a mix of passion and anger, and I was like, we got to do something about this. So, you know, we had a need for this book. When we were doing, when I say we, my organization, the nonprofit that works with schools and with social service agencies and food pantries, we would go and we would do what's something called Rainbow Days, and we would get kids excited about eating fruits and vegetables. The teachers and the parents saw huge behavior shifts in the kids, and then they would say, wow, is there anything that you could leave behind, Catherine, that would enforce this? Because as human behavior goes, we saw these huge changes right after the Rainbow Day, but as time went by, it wore off. So we needed something. This is the teachers and parents talking to me and saying, we need something that will reinforce those behavior changes throughout the year. So I looked and looked and looked and looked about all the different books out there, and I couldn't find something that communicated the eating of the rainbow, the fruits and vegetables, the healthy, the energy, in the way that I felt really worked with the tens of thousands of kids that I had talked to. So we set out to write this book, and I involved my 12-year-old son, and we laid out the story, you know, again, this arc of a transformation in the character, a journey. It's magical. The character shrinks down and goes through all the colors and learns about how each color actually helps your body. And it was this beautiful, complete story. But then we went to the publishers and we said, this is what we came up with. It's based on a need that we heard about. Here's the story, and it's 54 pages long. And all the publishers said to us, forget it. There's no way that kids will pay attention for 54 pages. The whole idea is flawed. So my son and I were a little heartbroken first.
Sure.
And then we said, okay, well, let's see if that's true. Or do we really have an attention span issue? And so then we started going around to different schools and we had a beta version of the book, and that was 54 pages long, and we read it to the kids. And let me tell you, Alan, these kids, because it was an arc, it was a transformation, because there was steps, the kids knew that there were five color groups and there was a map showing them, okay, you're two steps away, you're one step away, you're almost there. Like, the kids were on their knees leaning forward, so engaged with the story, and we did not lose them. So it was one of these things where it was like, we just proved it wrong, and then we ultimately figured out that it had to do with the publishers not wanting to put the cost up. A cost of a four-color, you know, 54-page book is really expensive. Will the publisher make that much money? Not as much if it was a short book. So we learned that if you want to do something in a way that works and it doesn't fit into the box that the publishing industry has, then you have to go and do it yourself. So that was what we learned. We learned that the publishing industry has its own model, and if you have a round peg and you're trying to put it into a square hole or vice versa, you're just going to be shut out. And so we decided that our project was worth pursuing, and so we did a Kickstarter and we did it on our own.
That's beautiful. And I love the fact that you brought up about the art, because, I mean, that's the same thing if somebody's writing a script, you know, is, you know, what is your character arc? You know, are you going to be able to keep their attention? You know, we're told put a clock on it. It's, you've done all of these things that is now, you know, almost required in putting out a successful movie. You've done it with a book and kept their attention. I think it's beautiful.
And it was fun to be able to say, and what a Kickstarter really did is it tested the market. It, you know, we had heard from teachers and parents, we want this book. Then the Kickstarter was our way, and we made a video, and we told our story, we put the Kickstarter up. And it was our way of really testing the market. Okay, so we heard that there was a need, but are people actually willing, you know, to make a financial transaction for this book? Is there that much of a need? And we met our goal, we met our Kickstarter campaign, and we went to press. So So that was fun, and it really kind of taught me that there really are some very rigid ideas in the publishing industry, not only about what a book should look like and what the length should be, but also, you know, there was something around the author and the illustrator's platform. I mean, the publishers were kind of like, well, how is a 12-year-old going to have the platform necessary, you know, to really market and publicize the book? And again, you know, so the door was slammed in our faces, and it was kind of fun to prove them wrong. I mean, Alexander did a bunch of interviews. He was on ABC TV. So, and he was on, you know, podcasts and radio interviews. He held his own. So it was sort of fun to prove those publishers wrong. Sorry if you're a publisher and listening.
Hey, you know, they need to grow just like everybody else. You know, one of the things that I really like about that is that I think you were also able to show Alexander that you can make things happen, you know. So it's, you know, in many situations with our children, for them to see it and be a part of it, I think for his own growth, that's now going to be a situation to where if he goes to get a job or to do whatever it is that he chooses to do in life, and somebody says, no, that doesn't work, I think he has now learned firsthand, hey, you know what? Then I'll do it myself, or I'll find another way. So I think that that's a great message that any of us can take with our own children, is by including them, we're also helping them for the rest of their life.
And we can't protect our kids from adversity. I mean, I was very open with him about the no's and the door slamming in our face, and he saw that, and he experienced that. And I think all listeners should remember that no growth really happens in the comfort zone, right? It's very difficult when you're very, very comfortable to, you know, to make big progress in your own personal growth. So when you get into that discomfort zone, it doesn't feel really good, but you know what? That's where you're growing. And absolutely, Alan, that's what I saw. I cannot tell you in the past year, not only physically, you know, at a 12 to 13-year-old boy, you know, how they change, but just emotionally and just, you know, really owning his own power of being able to say, I overcame some serious adversity.
Now, did this also allow you to maintain more of your own creativity in it, to where the publishers weren't coming in and trying to change everything?
Absolutely. In fact, in that author survey that I mentioned earlier, so I asked people all these different questions from, you know, what was your goal in publishing, and why did you choose your route for publishing? And then we went into cost, and we went into achievement to goal and things like that. But when the all of the self-published authors, when I asked about why they chose that route, most of them said because they wanted to have more control over the process and sometimes even the timing. You know, traditional publishers, it might be 2 years before you get your book out. So if you have a very timely subject, you might want to self-publish. It's a better route. But absolutely, Alan, you have so much more control over your content. And for a lot of people, including me, that is really important.
Well, and like we said in the very beginning of the show, I think this is now 3 new books in probably a little over the last year. So, I mean, it shows that when you set your mind to it, you're going to get it done. So that's beautiful. Now, we've talked, you know, kind of all around about what Look Before You Leap is, but share with us a little bit now more specifically, you know, why did you choose Look Before You Leap, and give us the direction that that particular book has gone.
Absolutely. So it should be out by the beginning of April. I'm actually going to be presenting at Publishing University in Portland, Oregon on April 7th. So we're really kind of targeting all of the book launch around that date. But so the book really, I don't know what it is. I think I'm a magnet or something for people that are aspiring authors. I seem to be walking down the street and interacting with people, and everybody seems to be saying to me, gosh, Catherine, I have a book in me. I have a story. I want to help people. I kept hearing this over and over and over. Then I actually looked up the statistic, and the New York Times reports that 80% of the population believes that they have a book in them, and I believe that to be potentially even higher. I mean, we all have these unique lives, unique stories, and unique values, and you know, I believe that there's really nothing new under the sun. Like, it's not like you need to have this, you know, breakthrough idea in order to write a book, because it's really just how you package it. It's like somebody will pick up something based on the packaging, and if you reach a new person because they picked up your book because they liked the way that your packaging appealed to them, then you've just helped another person. So I'm a big fan, you know, when people come to me and say, I'm an aspiring author, or they sheepishly admit to me, I've had a manuscript in my desk for 2 years. You know, I've heard that too. I really just wanted to inspire them and help them and say, you can do this. And by the way, it's needed. We need more inspiration and help and messages in this world.
Well, we have a listener question that is addressing exactly what you're talking about. This one reads, I have always wanted to write and have a stack of, quote, stopped and started manuscripts. I can get an online prepared and, I can get online and all prepared and write a couple of chapters, but then suddenly it is as though I lost confidence in myself. I find myself asking, is this topic only interesting to me? Is the competition so fierce that it will never get noticed? And then my credibility sort of deflates. So reading about your new book, and I'm looking forward to it coming out, do you believe it would help me get clarity? Thanks. And this is from Will in Washington.
Okay, so Will, let me tell you that every single author, including myself, has a major confidence issue, meaning it's really scary. And when my first book was published, and first of all, when I was writing it, I wouldn't show it to anybody. I was just so horrified by it. And I, again, sort of sheepishly sent it to my husband and said, please don't call my baby ugly, you know. And so so if you're feeling a lack of confidence, you are completely normal. Everyone has it. It's part of the situation. And in fact, you know, when your book comes out, Will, and I know it will, you're going to feel like in some ways you're running down the street naked. It is very vulnerable, but the same thing, that same vulnerability is the beautiful part of it. It's the other beautiful side of the coin, and that's that a book is a really intimate connection with a person, meaning they're spending a lot of time with you, often, you know, reading in bed right before they go to sleep, which means it goes into their subconscious. So just know, first of all, that the confidence issue is completely normal. And the way to get around it, Will, is to find yourself a supportive group. So for my first book, I had a really nice beta reader group. Once I, you know, got past being able to send it to my husband and all of that, then I created a beta group, and I was just like, okay, whatever they say, I'm going to be okay with it. I'm getting feedback because it's going to make the book better, and it certainly did. So surrounding yourself with people that can give you honest feedback and giving yourself the time to incorporate that feedback, I think will take you leaps and bounds. And it's funny, Alan, because Will's question leads me to my next project, which is I'm doing a membership called Make Publishing Fun, which is hysterical because I'm really all about making things fun. But Will can contact me at makewellnessfun.com under the contact, and I'm actually putting together a cohort sort of beta group, and maybe I can connect him with some of these other people that seem to be magnetized to me as I'm walking down the street, and we can put everybody together in a group and make it a supportive environment, because that's really what helps you get past these, you know, confidence issues.
Now, I think a lot of people might be thinking, how do you put together a beta group?
So what I did is I reached out. In my nonprofit work, I had helped so many people. I'm also on the board of several organizations. So I really had to cash in a lot of sort of, social chips. You know, people, you know, it was kind of like I'd done a lot of favors for people. So I cashed in a lot of those chips, and people did me a favor in return. So that's how I did it for my book. But I do think that there's an easier way to do it by joining some kind of, you know, membership site. And again, that's why I'm thinking about this Make Publishing group. It's starting to come together. I'm actually keeping a list right now. I've already have 15 people, and it's like a week old, right? And I'm starting to put some content together. But you do want to, it is important also to find people that don't know you as a person. So I had to actually go outside my network a little bit and find people, and this, my husband helped me with this. He found friends that he had gone to high school with and in college with that actually didn't know me, because you want people to be in your beta group that actually don't know you, because otherwise they read your personality into it. You want like a really fresh slate of a person to be in your beta group. And again, anyone that's looking for this kind of experience, I am here to help you make publishing fun.
Well, I'm going to take advantage of it myself. So when we get done, I want to let you know that that I'm in. So count me in. And I just want to add to the idea of who goes into a beta group. And I've now gotten involved in writing scripts and producing movies. And I have one script that is very, very dear to me because it sort of focuses on the beginning of my career working with adolescents. And every friend that I showed it to loved it. They just thought it was beautiful. It was great. And then I sent it to a friend in New York who has produced television shows. He's producing plays out there. And I can say this because he's been on the show and he's talked about it. He has autism. And for those that don't know, autism for many people means not having much of a filter. And he responded back. And it was pretty critical. and I realized that, number one, I needed some more help. But I also, now I run everything by him because I know that he will be so brutally honest. And I love it. You know, I know that he's not just trying to be a friend. He's not just trying to, you know, to make me happy and put a smile on my face. You know, he will get and tell you exactly what it needs. And I found that to be incredibly beneficial.
It is. And first of all, I'm clicking my heels that you want to be part of this. And I'll tell you, you know, kind of where we're going to start. So everybody has a different way of learning. So if you're a parent and you have I have two kids, and they couldn't be more different in the way they learn. So I have one, my daughter is a producer. She likes work plans, worksheets, logical, you know, boom, 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 all in an order. My son is the creative, imaginative. And if you try to put him on a work plan, whew, forget it. So the first thing that this Make Publishing Fun is going to do is it's going to actually help you as an aspiring author to self-categorize yourself as far as what is the best way for you to go about writing a book. So somebody like my daughter probably should just do an outline, trigger sentences, you know, and start going. My son's going to need a lot more visuals, kind of visual boarding, and somebody in the middle might want like a manuscript grid or, you know, mind map. So that's kind of where we're going to start. And then not only do you have to know how you work and how you think, but you also have to learn how you like to be accountable. And so some people, you know, they like drill sergeants bugging them. I'm okay with that. But my son, he needs a much more gentle approach, kind of a reminder kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I'll put people in groups based on not only how they learn and write, but also how they like to be held accountable. Because I think that's really important. A lot of people, when they set out on a project, you know, they might just get into a situation where the accountability either isn't there or it's the wrong kind of accountability. So in your case, Alan, you know, when you found that gem of a friend in New York, like that's an important part of your process and your accountability to get to a really good end product.
I couldn't be happier about it. Along those same lines, I would imagine that it probably is also helpful to have people based on maybe what their life experiences are.
Yes, I think when you get to the actual editing stage, you really want somebody that loves your topic. I mean, if you're writing about wellness, you probably don't want to have somebody that is in a, you know, that usually edits, you know, vampire lover fiction, right? Like you, just to give an example that's kind of modern, but mm-hmm. You really, when you get to the editing stage, you really want somebody that, you know, is really in your genre, and you want your beta readers to be, you know, or your accountability group to be somewhat interested. But I do think getting a broader perspective, especially if you have a goal of getting your work really widely out there, you want to bring in, you know, broad perspective. So when I was saying I've been this magnet for people that want to publish a book, you know, I have somebody on my list from Finland. I have somebody on my list from Germany. And then I have, you know, people on my list from just, you know, around here locally and everywhere in between. So I think having a broad group of people is ideal.
I couldn't agree more. And in fact, I had mentioned earlier about scripts. I've now found that I have people that send me many scripts because of my investigative background. So if anything has to do with human trafficking, because I have a nonprofit that fights human trafficking, so they'll bring scripts to me and say, look, this is my beginning and this is my ending and this is what's going to happen, but I don't know enough about that particular industry to know exactly what happens, you know, in that part. So they're actually having me read it and then make changes as to what is more accurate and what is just what maybe they put on TV but isn't necessarily true.
Absolutely. So accuracy is a really important issue, but there's also this idea of needing your unique value proposition. So if you really know that area and you already know what's out there, when somebody brings you something that's in that area, in that genre, you kind of have this whole big, you know, spectrum, you know, this knowledge of everything that's out there, and you can help that person to really tweak their messaging so that they're unique. And I think that's really important, that unique value proposition for anything, whether it's a movie, it's a book, it's a program, it's a product. Like, that unique value proposition is worth spending time on.
Well, thank you. And again, for everybody out there, wow. I mean, I wish we had more time. But again, if you want, go to makewellnessfun.com. There are so many things that can help you. There are the books that can help your children and all of us eat better. But at the same time, you now have that part to where we say we all have a book in us. We all want to have something out there and something that we can say. If that's the case for you, go to makewellnessfun.com and talk with Catherine, and maybe you can become one of these groups as well.
It's exciting. I can't wait to see what happens. And really, you know, I'm in this launch phase right now where I'm really happy to send people a free copy of these new books, because I really, you know, just like you, Alan, you have your nonprofit work, you're spinning a lot of plates, as you say, right? All of them are towards the goal of helping other people. So let's do it in the best way that we can.
Catherine, thank you so much. You're welcome anytime. And I look forward to talking to you off the air.
I do as well. Thank you so much, Alan.
All right. Thank you. And for everybody out there, be sure to put us on your calendar and tune in next Monday when we're joined by Thomas Sterner, author of Fully Engaged, Using the Practicing Mind in Our Daily Life. And if you missed or you want to share a show with your friends, please visit our archives of past interviews at answersforthefamily.com. You can also subscribe or resubmit your name to download a free copy of the Attitude of Gratitude Journal, which is your 21-day guide to achieving the quality and thankfulness through self-discovery. The next time you're on Facebook or Twitter, please remember to stop by our page, check out some of our latest posts, and if you like them, please like us and continue to spread the word. Be good humans and be with us again next week on Answers for the Family.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Matt Polacek, only on LA Talk Radio.